Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Planning a visit to Iuka or the Corinth area? The perfect stay awaits you at Lake Park Inn and Heritage Place Hotels of Iuka. They have been awarded Booking.com's highest customer satisfaction rating in the region for cleanliness and comfort. Forget the rest and stay with the best. Book at HeritageHotelIuka.com.
Sports.
Get ready, sports fans. It's time for Chasing Foul Balls on Supertalk Pike County 93.5 and streaming worldwide on the Supertalk Mississippi app and on your Amazon Alexa devices. Chasing Foul Balls, your weekly source for all the sports news and interviews important to Southwest Mississippi. Chasing Foul Balls is presented by First Bank. And now, here's your host, Robbie Hamilton.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Friday morning edition of Chasing Foul Balls right here on Super Talk, Pike County 93.5. Joining us today, the head coach of the Park Lane Lady Pioneer softball team, Daniel Simmons, had an important game last night up at MRA. And also joining us, the co-host of Sports Talk Mississippi here on the Mississippi Network, Brian Haydad. He also is the co-host of Thunder and Lightning, the Mississippi State podcast, also heard right here on Super Talk Pike County. Glad to have you along with us. To my left, back with us after chasing the cows for a week, how are you?
Just fine, Robbie. Good to be back.
Did you win the cow chasing contest or what?
Well, no, we got them caught. But dragging them around sometimes can be difficult. But we got another one tomorrow at in Tylertown, so we'll do it again.
So you're doing it again. Also, the professor with us, Mr. Randall, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm great. I'm just glad to be able to roll out early here on a Friday morning and be with you guys.
Oh, my favorite thing, getting up at 7 o'clock on Friday morning. I didn't know there was such a thing as 7 o'clock on a Friday morning until I got this
job. Oh, yeah.
Let's talk football. First thing, Community College last night up in Coleman. The Wolfpack gets back on the winning streak. They defeat Jones 3-1, 31-20. That sets the Wolfpack at 3-1. I was surprised, guys. The first time in 7 years that Coleman has defeated Jones. I would have thought it had been that long, that's for sure. Saturday, tomorrow, Southwest goes down to Perkinson to play Gulf Coast. But then a week from yesterday, Thursday night, it's the Big E on the John Ihrer Stadium on the campus of Southwest Mississippi Community College. It'll be the Wolfpack of Coleman making a short trip down to Southwest to play the Bears. That's next Thursday night at John Ihrer Stadium. NFL last night, Buffalo wins 31-21 over the Miami Dolphins. Football this weekend, college, LSU and SLU, the letters face each other. Of course, that really probably shouldn't be much to that one.
Well, I don't know. LSU didn't do much with Louisiana Tech, but Southeastern with Frank Selfo is a solid program in their division. I think they'll go up there and play hard, and I think LSU will win by 3 or 4 touchdowns at least. And Southeastern will get a nice payday.
Tulane and Ole Miss, Richard, what you got there?
Well, Robbie, Tulane is going to be a formidable opponent. They played pretty well last week, but Ole Miss is it. If they can redo what they did last week offensively, the quarterback that came, I believe, from Ferris State, Division II, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and played like he was a veteran. And if they play anywhere close to that, I don't see it being much of a ball game from that standpoint. Who knows? As we said before we went on, Tulane's a formidable opponent, and this will be one of their big games of the year.
Golden Eagles makes the trip to Louisiana Tech. Who you got, Neil?
I can't go against the Southern Miss Golden Eagles. I really think Coach Huff has got them going in the right direction. Of course, going on the road's a whole different story. Louisiana Tech has always been a solid program, but I'll take the Golden Eagles in a close one.
Northern Illinois comes to Mississippi State. Can Mississippi State go 4-0, Richard?
I sure hope so. I think the opponent's going to be a – I think defensively it'll be an opponent that we want to play the week before Tennessee. But offensively, in all their three games before the season, Northern Illinois has struggled offensively. So I think we just go out there and take care of business. I think it'll be hopefully a good tune-up for what we got the following week.
It's been 11 years since both Mississippi State and Ole Miss started the season 3-0. So here we go this year. Kind of surprised at the Bulldogs?
Yeah, I think the game that everybody kind of had marked on the calendar, if we could get to 4-0, would be Arizona State. And that was the big game there. And, you know, last week was, you know, a football game, I guess you'd call it. And but, yeah, so I guess I wanted them to be 4-0, but if you'd asked me to pick, I'd have probably said we'd be 3-1 because I didn't know if we could beat Arizona State, but we did.
Two big high school games tonight, Neil, over at C.C. Moore Stadium in McComb. The McComb Tigers, 3-0. They will host the 3-0 Brookhaven Panthers. Now, that ought to be a good one.
Well, it surely should, and I suspect you better get there early if you want to get a seat, because I imagine the folks from Lincoln County will get there early. And from the people we've talked to right here on this program, Brookhaven is loaded with talent, and they showed it last week defeating Madison Central in Brookhaven. I know McComb has a lot of talent, and they've been very strong under Coach Foster the last two or three years, but I'm going to have to go with the Panthers of Brookhaven.
I'd agree, Robbie. The game last week, I guess it, you know, went into overtime. That's amazing. I mean, you know, Brookhaven is loaded. We always know about Madison Central, but they won it at home in overtime. And but like Neil said, you know, there's talent at McComb too. I mean, they've taken care of business up to this point, and there'll be a standing room only around the gates and the fences there in Brookhaven. I guarantee you.
A surprise game, the other game to talk about, South Pike travels to Greenville. They will take on Greenville Christian from the MAIS.
Well, you know, what was it, about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, Greenville Christian had kids from all over the Delta and other areas and would just beat the hell out of everybody. But I think they've kind of come back to earth. But it's a long ride from Magnolia to Greenville. I have made that one before, and I don't know anything about Greenville Christian. South Pike's gotten off to kind of a rough start. Wish them the best. I hope they can pull it out. But I would imagine the home team would have an advantage just by being the home team.
A couple of more games that are interested to me to the MAIS, Jackson Academy goes over to Hartsfield. Prep is at MRA. And the other game on the public school side, Salem at 3-0. They had lost 49 straight coming into this year. They're 3-0. They play 2-1 Stringer. Who you got?
Oh, I got to stay with the Wildcats. I mean, they're on a roll right now. And I just think that this might be their turn. I mean, they 49 in a row. That's hard to stay up and stay playing. But 3-0 makes you excited, so it turns it around.
NCAA has eliminated the spring transfer window. Neil, I think everybody was wanting to get this down to one time that you could transfer. They eliminate the spring window.
Well, I think that's a great idea. I mean, but, you know, usually when you leave the gate open things get out of hand, and I'd have to say things in the transfer portal or transfer overall in college athletics is totally out of hand. But that's a good move, I think.
I definitely think it's a good move, Robbie. It's just been a a free-for-all in the wild, wild west, whichever term you want to use. But at least they're going to try to put some constraints on it. I don't know if they'll ever get it to where they can feel comfortable with it, because you leave that window open, kids are going to go through it, but trying to control some of it before the bowl season and at the end of the football season, I think is a good thing. I'm probably sure coaches are probably excited about it.
Anybody on the hot seat this week? First week we talked to Alabama, last week it was Florida. Anybody on the hot seat this week?
I can't think of
anybody. Randall?
I don't know about the hot seat, but I would think that Shane Beamer's seat might be a little warmer after getting blown away by Vanderbilt at home last week.
The Saints 0-2. They take on the Seahawks, a 3 o'clock in the afternoon game on CBS Sports. You see any hope for the Saints this week, Richard?
I guess I could see a little. Traveling, Seattle's a really good football team. Then you got to travel, two or three different time zones and play. I've been somewhat excited about the fact that the Saints looked like they could have won one of the first two games, but traveling and having to play Seattle, I just hope they can play well. Maybe they can sneak one out. They're going to beat somebody somewhere.
Yeah, they're going to have to sneak up on somebody, and I hope they do real soon.
They better practice that sneaking up on. Coming up, Daniel Simmons, the head softball coach out at Park Lane. We'll talk to him next right here on Super Talk Pike County and Chasing Foul Ball. Chasing Foul Ball is right here on Super Talk Pike County on this Friday morning. Don't forget North Pike football tonight here on Super Talk. North Pike travels over to West Jones, and Bowie will be here with the play-by-play for the North Pike Jaguars. On the phone, the head softball coach at the Park Lane Pioneers, Coach Daniel Simmons. A late night last night, Coach, but it ended up successful.
It was, sir. It was. It was. We won a thriller last night.
Watching that on the MRA network, it was a very close ball game, but it looked like to be a game the Pioneers have been playing all year, where you needed everybody on that roster to win that game.
We did, we did. We had a little saying that we talk about it, that everybody has a role, and every role matters, and that couldn't have been no more truth than last night.
You've already won the district with two games to go. I know you have to be proud of that.
I'm very proud of it. That was a goal we set early in the season, was win the district, and that was first and foremost.
You got two games left in the regular season next week. Both of them could be a pretty tough game. You have to go on the road twice, the first time to BA, which has kind of become a pretty good rival for you.
Yes, sir. That's a game we look forward to. Even when I wasn't coaching there, my daughter was playing there, and that was a game we look forward to every year. Those two games definitely – bring the best out in both teams for sure.
Also, you have Columbia left.
Yes, we do. Columbia is a really, really good team over there. Coach Wolfs has done a good job with them. They hit, man. They just hit and hit and hit. They never quit. Well coached. Really be two really good games and a good test for us leading into the playoffs.
You're 21-1 on the year. You've won 14 straight. When you win that many games in a row, you have to have a pretty good pitching staff, not just one twirler out there in the circle.
That's right. I tell you truthfully, though, our offense has been really, really good this year. We've scored a lot of runs. We've hit the ball really well, but we've had good pitching too. We've won 3-2 ball games. We've won 10-0 ball games. We've won them both, but Piper Crawford's been a horse in the circle for us this year. She's done way better than I expected this early or earlier in the season, as where she would, come back from a knee surgery. And we got an eighth grader, Kenna Morgan. A lot of people don't know her, but they will soon. She's really, really did good. We're doing really good. She pitched six innings last night and only gave up two hits. They were both home runs, but only two hits. But she's doing a really good job for us in the circle, and we can get a win out of either one of them at any time, I think.
Coach Simmons, Neil Randall, you mentioned your pitchers, which is the key to any team, but the old adage is that to win championships, you have to be strong up the middle. Catcher, short middle infielder, center field. Talk about those players for the Pioneers.
Yes, in the catching position, we got Cameron Poole. She pitched a couple games this year. She really don't want to pitch. She wants to play every position on the field. She can't play but one. But she is we were kind of losing Izzy Coker last year behind the plate. They don't make many like her. And you've got first of all, you got to have a really good catcher. shut the run game down, knows how to get pitches, you know, frame and work well with your pitcher. Cameron Poole has stepped into that role, and I don't think there's a better one in the district than her. That's my opinion right there. The Poole kid from McCaven's really good. But I like ours. So both Pools, I guess they're both Pools. I guess they're cousins. But anyway, I think that ours is just as good as any. You know, our shortstop, Macy, my daughter's played shortstop majority of the season. I moved her over to third base here recently and put Hallie Bennett there at short. Both of those do a fine job at shortstop. Macy actually played short last night. Zoe offered at second base. I've never seen a kid with that much range at second base. She caught foul balls on the warning track out there and just make plays from second base all the way to first base. Anytime the ball's hitting her direction, I just go ahead and grab my notebook. It's about time to hit. Lainey Simmons, a lot of people don't know her. She's a senior this year. She played left field last year, but she's playing center for us this year, having a phenomenal year at the plate. And she's shut down, been a lockdown center fielder for us. Made a really good play in center coming up running on the ball last night. So up the middle, we're really, really strong, you know. So I feel very confident anytime any ball's any hit anywhere close up the middle right there.
Coach Simmons, this is Richard Hay. 21-2, tremendous start to the season, getting ready to play district. You've got a lot of great leadership. You just mentioned a lot of your top players. Who's the one player that you would call the leader, but the glue, the one that keeps everybody down to earth, nose to the grind, get through the process? Who's that player or players on this team?
Man, that's a tough one there. We got six seniors, and they all play their role. I don't guess we have one defined true leader. Anna Sawyer probably would be a good name right there. She's one that, you know, we come in between innings, hey, you know, let's hit, let's maybe do this, let's do that, you know, defensively. You know, she talks about good approaches at the plate. I guess if I had to pick one, it would probably be Anna Sawyer. I guess that'd be my pick right there as our leader on the team. But they all do their part. But, you know, that fiery one, she's a 10th grader, but again, Cameron Poole, she's kind of fiery. She gets fired up pretty quick, and she'll get them going too. You know, so we got a couple of two or three there for sure.
Well, catchers are that way. They should be that way.
Oh yeah, so she's a dog. Ain't no doubt. What I'm telling you, she's going to play at a next level and a high level too. And she can hit. Oh my goodness, she can hit.
Coach Simmons, Neil here again. Robbie mentioned a while ago that you had won the district, got a couple of games to go. Tell us how the playoff should set up, if you know, and who you think you might play, and how that'll set up.
You know, going into South State with us winning district, we're going to be the number one seed from my side, and we'll play the four seed on the other side. And that other side's got – we should play Selman first round. You know, you never take anything for granted. We played them twice this year, beat them a couple times. But here recently, they've been playing really, really good, you know, and beat a couple really good teams and played a couple really good teams in one-run ball games. So we don't ever take a game for granted. But if we look to win that game and Brookhaven wins their game, we'll tie up again. So it's us and them always going to be in the mix for sure.
Coach, would that be a home-and-home, or would you just come to one – come to the higher seed and play?
No, the South State tournament will be held in Brookhaven at the fourth place up there.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
And then the state tournament will be held at McGee.
Coach Simmons, Richard Hay again. When you're 21-2, there's a lot of things that went right. But even at this point of the season, what's the one thing that you still in the back of your mind say, we can be a little bit better at this, because somewhere down the road in these next couple of games or the playoffs, it might be something that we need to be better at?
Complacency. You know, we've only lost one time this year. We're not 21-2. We're 21-1. So complacency, that's a big thing we talk about. Hey, don't take anything for granted. You know, when you go out and you just win, and it's been kind of that way at Park Lane for a few years, you win way more than you lose. You kind of go, people expect you to win. And sometimes, you know, I know I get it. Hey, we only won by one game, one run last night. What happened? You know, so it kind of gets used to it. People just get used to it. And the players, you know, I try my best, and our coaching staff does too, not to let them get too used to winning. That we still got to play seven innings. We got to get 21 outs. We got to have good approaches. Got to have good plans. Got to play good defense. All the stuff that we talk about. Know your job and what you're supposed to do. So I say number one thing we got to watch out for is complacency. So the kids have played enough ball. They know what to do. But it's when you beat a team two times and you beat them pretty good. You know, you play them that third time, you know, they kind of walk. You got to guard against not just walking out there and expecting to win. That would be what I say, and that falls on us.
On the road last night at LBRA, and you had a great crowd of Park Lane fans there. That fan support is important, isn't it?
Oh man, we travel well. I dare say, usually when we travel, we have more fans than they do at their own home place, and that means a lot. It takes everybody.
One final question. I noticed last night in the game, about the seventh inning, you and your assistant coach swapped positions as far as which bases that you were going to coach.
We're kind of superstitious like that, man. I don't mind coaching first. I like coaching first. But if we go through a couple innings we're not hitting, hey, we think we're going to change something. We'll try anything. You know, so I know a lot of people don't understand that, but that's just something we've done over the past couple of years. And I say, hey, let's switch something up here. And more times than not, it works, you know. So we kind of stick with what works, whatever it is.
All right. Now, this coming week, you have Brookhaven Academy and Columbia. What days are those games?
We play Monday night at Brookhaven and Tuesday night at Columbia.
Well, good luck to the Park Lane Pioneers. Headed to the district tournament as the number one team, 21-1 on the year with 14 straight wins. Thanks for taking the time this morning, Coach, after a long night last night at MRA.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having us.
Welcome back. Brian Haydad of the Super Talk Sports Talk up next, right here on Chasing Foul Balls.
Sports.
And now sports.
You're listening to Chasing Foul Balls on Super Talk Pike County 93.5 and streaming everywhere on the Super Talk Mississippi app. Chasing Foul Balls is presented by First Bank and brought to you by East Macomb Body Shop and Guy's Pharmacy. Now back to Chasing Foul Balls on Super Talk Pike County 93.5.
Good Friday morning. Welcome to Super Talk Pike County. Chasing Foul Balls. Thanks to Daniel Simmons, the head softball coach out at Park Lane. 21-1 on the year. He's won 14 straight for getting up this morning after a late night at MRA last night. Now on the phone, the co-host of Super Talk Mississippi and also the co-host of Thunder and Lightning, the Mississippi State podcast. Dave Hughes says it's a man who can talk about many subjects. Is that right there, Brian Haydad?
It just depends. We'll have to see, you know, what topics we want to hit on, but I can get a few of them in there.
Dave said he gave you a couple of questions, but I'm not going to use them because I'm afraid we may get in trouble.
Okay. Let's be smart about it, yeah.
Let's give it a start. Last time that Mississippi State and Ole Miss were 4-0, do you have that date?
It's got to be 2014. Cause that's the last time State was 4-0, and Ole Miss would have been 4-0 at the same time. So yeah, that was the year, of course, of Mississippi mayhem of you know both State and Ole Miss being in the top four in the first college football playoff poll. So yeah, that's the last time it happened.
Before we get deep into Mississippi State, NCAA eliminates the spring transfer window. What do you think about that?
I think it's necessary. You've got to find a way. I'm a guy who's all in favor of player movement. I'm in favor of them being able, if they want to go to four colleges in 4 years, God bless them. But at the same time, you got to try to limit things just a little bit because you have to allow schools to know who's playing there each season. And you have to be able to, you know, we're in a situation right now where if you fire your coach at the end of the year, you got to make a move within a week. Otherwise, your entire roster is going to go in the portal, and it's going to be very difficult to get everybody back and put together a team. So this is just better for the sport overall, and it still allows the players to have the movement that they want.
Tuesday they will announce the permanent opponents for the Southeastern Conference team. Who do you see being Mississippi State's three permanent opponents?
Obviously, Ole Miss is going to stay on the schedule. I think they will give State Kentucky. Kentucky was State East permanent for, you know, two decades in the old days. And then it's probably somebody like Texas A&M or Arkansas will be the other one. I would lean towards Texas A&M. So that's my guess. The only one I know for sure is that Ole Miss will be on there.
Sitting at 3-0, what's most surprising to you, the Mississippi State offense or the Mississippi State defense?
Definitely the defense. You know, that coming into this season, defense was going to be what determined if Mississippi State was any better than they were a year ago. They were the worst defense in the SEC last year. Through three games, they're the seventh best defense in the conference, and I know that it's early, but at no point last year were they as good as they are on defense as they are right now. Their cornerbacks have been a huge pleasant surprise. They've got a lot of depth on the defensive line. They've got some players showing up and maturing, and they just look better coached as well. So, you know, offensively with Jeff Lebby, I expect that team to be consistent and be good and have the big play potential they're showing. But I wasn't sure about that defense. They've been really good through 3 weeks.
Brian, this is Richard. Hey, let's flip it to the other side. I think everybody's biggest question from the offensive side coming into this season was our offensive line. How would you grade them, I guess, through the first three games? I know really Arizona State's probably the one we get the best grade out of, but what would you grade them overall at this point?
Yeah, they've been good, but not great. You know, they're still trying to figure out that consistent starting five. They've had some injury issues up there. You know, Blake Steen was out for the year. Jimothy Lewis missed the Arizona State game. That's the guy they want out there at left tackle. You know, a guy like Javen James coming in off the bench and playing as well as he did in that kind of environment was pretty impressive. So they've got better depth. Hopefully this weekend against Northern Illinois, they can sort of sort out who they want that starting five to be and get those guys in place going forward into SEC play. But, you know, they've been a C-plus, B-minus unit thus far, which is, you know, it's been good enough.
Brian Neal Randall, really enjoyed watching Mississippi State get to this point in the season undefeated. The win over Arizona State was just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I loved every second of it. And we heard on the national broadcast that Brennan Thompson was the fastest player in college football. Tell us a little bit about Brennan Thompson and his background.
Yeah, I had him at SEC Media Days, and I asked him that exact question. I said, are you the fastest guy in college football? And he didn't even hesitate with me. He said, I am. And he's a guy who came from Oklahoma, was recruited by Jeff Lebby there. I heard a story about him the other day that he would run track, but track doesn't pay the bills the way the football does. Basically, he could be a world-class track athlete if you wanted to be. Lebby was asked about him on Monday and said, you know, we watched the film, and he was always open at Oklahoma. It was just a question of the quarterback play. They couldn't get him the ball. So, you know, going back to the spring with Lebby, he was always very confident in this wide receiver group, even though they were not a group that had a lot of proven potential. They had a lot of guys that, you know, they liked, but they didn't have the stats. You're seeing now why that was, because between Brennan Thompson and Anthony Evans, you've got two legitimate SEC receivers that have stepped up and are going to be among the league leaders the whole season.
Brian, Richard Hay, once again, what do we need to look for in this Northern Illinois game that we need to shore up, get better at, find somebody new? As we prepare for Tennessee, we don't want to talk about it. And I heard y'all yesterday saying we don't want to talk about it, but let's talk about it. But yeah. What is the stuff we have to do in Northern Illinois that maybe we haven't been as good at yet, but we got to be better for the following week?
I think the main thing coming out of this Northern Illinois game is the same as the Auburn game. Just stay healthy, show that you're focused, take control of the game early in the first quarter, and then never let it go. You got to figure out that offensive line. Who do you want your starting five to be? Let them get their reps. You would like a third receiver to emerge. You know, you've got Thompson and you've got Evans. Can Aiden Williams, can Jordan Mosley, could the tight end Sadu Traore be that guy? But you need a third consistent receiver to find. Defensively, I'd like to see a little bit more from the pass rush. I think State was really, really vanilla against both Southern Mississippi and Alcorn State. They look a lot different against Arizona State. They put Sam Levitt under a lot of pressure and had a couple of sacks in that game. I think this week it might still be a little bit of that just because of the opponent. But going into Tennessee, they do have to be a little bit better about getting to the passer, because if you let Joey Aguilar just sit back there in the pocket, he will be able to pick you apart. So it's a bunch of little things. There's not a big issue that just stands out when you think about Mississippi State right now. It's just a bunch of little things they got to get fine-tuned. And if they do that, they're going to have a great chance going forward in SEC play.
Brian, this is Neil again. I'd like for you to comment on a couple of players from down in our area. One is Johnny Daniels, a running back out of Colin and Crystal Springs, and a young receiver, San Francisco McGee, out of Macomb.
Sure. Johnny Daniels, I mean, if that's your third running back in the SEC, you've got a really good room. He has got a lot of potential, got a lot of burst. I think he provides a little bit of a change of pace from what Devon Booth and Fluff Bothwell give Mississippi State. Didn't get a lot of carries last week, but nobody did really with the Alcorn game. But he is a guy that, you know, if they put him in the game, I have confidence in him. And if something were to happen to Booth or Bothwell and he needed to have a bigger role, I think he could be a good player for Mississippi State. San Francisco McGee is a guy I know that wide receivers coach Chad Bumpus is very high on. You know, he's just young right now and he's behind a couple of other guys. I think if he's a guy who stays at Mississippi State, he can be a big contributor for the Bulldogs in the future. You know, for this year, I think his role is going to be just a little bit limited. But going into the future, I know that's a guy they have big hopes for, and they hope he stays in startable.
Brian, Richard, once again, we're all excited because we're 3-0. But what's your biggest surprise up to this point? Something that you said, oh, we can't be that or we can't do that, but we're pretty good. What's your biggest surprise so far to this point?
It's the cornerbacks. I thought that State's cornerbacks would be a massive weakness for them. They weren't really successful in the portal and bringing in a difference maker there. They were just going to kind of run it back. They brought a couple of JUCO guys in, but, you know, you didn't know much about them. And they've been really good. Kelly Jones is a guy who I think is going up NFL draft boards because he's just such a physical specimen. You know, you'll see a lot of 6'4" cornerbacks out there. And Diego Brumfield has been pretty solid for Mississippi State. You know, they'd like to get Jet Jefferson back. I don't know if he'll be back this week or if they want to try to hold him till the Tennessee game or what his situation is, but those two guys who I was really worried about coming into the season through three games have been very, very good.
Let's go ahead and assume that we win this weekend. Talk about what the atmosphere in Starkville will be like leading up to Saturday.
It'll be as good as it's been in a decade. You know, I think about the Auburn game in 2014 where State won and got to be number one in the nation. It's going to be something like that, I think. It's going to be as close to a hard sellout as you can get. I would imagine there'll be 60,000 plus. But not only that, the national buildup of, okay, this team is undefeated. Nobody expected this. They're going to welcome Tennessee. Can they pull off an upset? Can they really make a statement on the national stage? Especially on a day where we have so many huge games. You know, we have Alabama and Georgia. We have Ole Miss, LSU. We have Texas A&M. And Auburn, we have Arkansas and Notre Dame. If Mississippi State can beat Tennessee, they become one of the stories of that day. So I expect an absolutely bonkers crowd, much bigger, louder, and stronger than it was for Arizona State.
Wow.
Well, I've been listening to y'all talk for several months about that week, and you're talking about how are you going to watch all them games when you got to be covering just one of them?
You know, that's what the laptop is for. I'll have a couple of tabs of YouTube TV open. And then, you know, since it's an early game, a 3:15 kick, I should be home in time to watch most of Alabama, Georgia, and Oregon. Penn State is also that night. So I just do the best I can on that one.
Brian, Neil Randall again. What would you say at this point? I know this is a difficult question. What would you say the odds of Mississippi State getting 6 wins and going to a bowl this year are right now?
They're much higher than they were a month ago, I'll say that. I mean, they should be 4-0 after this week. When you look ahead to their schedule, games that were, you would have said, are unwinnable a month ago suddenly aren't, right? Tennessee is not an unwinnable football game. Texas the way they're playing right now. That's not an unwinnable football game. The Egg Bowl is the Egg Bowl, man. Flip a coin on that one. But their road trips to Arkansas and Florida, those are games where Mississippi State can win. So if State's 4-0, they just have to get two more out of the final eight. I think they can do that. So if you made me put a percentage on it, I'd say they're probably about 70-30, maybe 65-35. I would predict them to go six and get at least six wins this year.
Brian, Richard brought it up earlier, but we'll go back to it. What's the hopometer reading in Stark Vegas heading into this week? What kind of feeling do you get from being around town?
Just from being around here in Starkville, everybody's excited again. You know, you go through a season like State had last year, and it's not only tough on the players and the coaches, but the town, the community. You know, people aren't wanting to come to Starkville for games. They don't want to spend the weekend here. They may want to, if they do come to the game, they're just going to get in and get out. And now you've got, you know, a town that, you know, 2 weeks ago was busting at the seams, and now you're going to add probably 10,000 more people to it next weekend when Tennessee comes in. So there's a lot of excitement. Everybody up here, you know how it is in a college town. Everybody is on the same team. And, the local restaurants and hotels and shops are very excited to see Mississippi State football being competitive again.
You have on your website, on your page there, it says you're the official backup fat guy for Brandon Walker. Now, how'd you get that job?
I think I just kind of lucked into it there. I've known Brandon for a long time, from back when he was covering Mississippi State here. And one day I was looking, and somebody said, "Do you have a backup fat guy in case you can't be on the show?" And he said, I do have one. And I immediately texted him. I was like, am I the backup fat guy? And he said, you are. So I put it on my Twitter bio. I figure I earned that.
You better watch, because a lot of us folks going for that job now. How do you handle Michael Borky every day?
Oh, man, he's great. It's much better than Richard Cross. just a joy to work with. You know, I love Borky. He and I think we've really started to hit our stride on Sports Talk now that Richard's just going, once a day. I love having Richard on Mondays. I think he provides a lot. But I think those Tuesday through Friday shows are really good, and we're starting to ease into a groove with them. And, I hope everybody's checking them out and listening, because you're not going to get any better sports coverage anywhere in the state.
Brian, Richard, hey, once again, I don't know how many months ago you started making a prediction that if we were 4-0, you would predict us to beat Tennessee. Are you going to hold through with that prediction?
First and foremost, we make our predictions on Fridays. That's next Friday. But that being said, I mean, I'm a man of my word. So, unless something happens this weekend, unless there's like a devastating injury of some sort, I'm going to probably stick to that prediction. Yeah, just because, why not? Why not have a little fun and be a little positive for a change? I think it's going to be a great atmosphere. It's Tennessee's first road game of the season. The quarterback for them, Aguilar, has not faced an environment like he's going to step into in Starkville. State can win that game, so I'll probably stick to it.
Final question. More excitement right now in Starkville for football, or was it more exciting when Mississippi State went to the World Series in baseball?
It's definitely got to be the national championship, just because that's the pinnacle. And Mississippi State, it's such a proud baseball school that Mississippi State fans love baseball. It's football first. Don't get that mixed up. But it is definitely a school that values college baseball and always has. And to finally get that national title and breakthrough, I think that has to be it. But I'll tell you this: if this team keeps winning, they're going to have a chance to eclipse that if they can just keep finding their way forward. And we may want to revisit that question after they play Tennessee if they can get a win.
Thank you, Brian. We appreciate all the time you've given us this morning. We'll be back in touch with you during the season.
Anytime, guys.
Brian Haydad from Sports Talk Mississippi, and also the co-host of Thunder and Lightning, the Mississippi State podcast, right here on Super Talk. We'll be back. We'll talk to Big Daddy right after this. If you're looking for a bank that feels like home, First Bank is here for you. 14 locations across southern Mississippi. We're your local bank for checking, savings, loans, and more. Whether you're buying a home, starting a business, or you just need everyday banking made easy, First Bank is ready to help. You can stop by your nearest branch or visit firstbankms.com today. First Bank, where customers and community matter most. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Good morning, Big Daddy. Got a big smile on your face this morning?
I'm doing great, Robbie. How about y'all?
All right. You headed over to Louisiana Tech?
No, I'm past going on the road very much anymore.
What about little Daddy? He headed?
Well, he's talked about it. I don't know whether he's finally made a decision or not.
What do you think about the Golden Eagles? Are you impressed with that win on last Saturday?
Well, it really was. You know, App State's a pretty good football team and had a good reputation coming into the game. And, you know, they were favored at our place. And, you know, I felt like if we could play decently and squeak out a win, we'd have a pretty good leg up going into the season. But I never thought we'd win as handily as we did. Actually, if you followed that ball game, we really never were out of control of the game at all. And the meaningless touchdown they scored, I think, with 50 seconds left, kind of made it look a little closer than it was. But all around, great effort by the Eagles, and saw a lot of positives.
Reese, Neil, congratulations on the win. Southern Miss looking good under the new head coach. Two questions. What was the crowd like at Southern Miss last week, and what do you know about Louisiana Tech?
Well, it was a decent crowd after the third game in a row, which is pretty hard on a fan base to go back-to-back-to-back, but and particularly when you have App State, you didn't probably have 10 people there, but I think the excitement will pick up now. If we go over Louisiana Tech and to pull out a win there, I think that'll real springboard the crowds going down the road. You know, it's been a long time since we've been relevant, and that win against App State was the first D1 win in, I don't know, 366 days, some kind of number like that.
Reese, this is Richard. Talking about Louisiana Tech, what do you know? I know last week Braylon Braxton really to me was the biggest difference. I mean, he commanded the game and played well, as you say, on offense. But what do we know about Louisiana Tech, and defensively, what do they bring to the table?
Well, don't know a whole lot about them, Richard, since you know, when they used to be all conference mates, we kind of knew a little bit more about them than we do now. Of course, they will be coming in to the Sun Belt in the next, whenever they get the negotiations worked out on that. But I think Louisiana Tech's a solid team. You know, they gave LSU a little bit of heartburn, and they won against New Mexico State. I think their offensively is going to be their big thing, and I think they've given up a lot of points already this year. They've got to probably outperform us on offense to win.
The upset alert in the SEC for this week, Auburn at Oklahoma, Tulane at Mississippi State, South Carolina at Missouri, or Northern Illinois at Mississippi State. Reese, who do you see as the upset alert there?
I think the Missouri game probably has Missouri, South Carolina probably has the best chance of being an upset.
How do you describe the Huff impact at Southern Miss?
Wow, that's hard to put into words. The man is rejuvenated our interest. That has, you know, if you listen to him talk, he'd make you go walk through a brick wall. I don't know that I've ever followed a coach that was as organized, as processed as he is. You know, he's kind of like Nick Saban cloned or something. Me and Wes were laughing last week watching his press conference after the game. He even had the Coca-Cola bottle sitting on the podium up there. It looked just like Saban, but he's the most positive guy playing. We're gonna work that plan, and he doesn't get too high, he doesn't get too low, and I think the players really love him.
Well, Big Daddy, it's Richard once again. Just talk about the overall year so far. Where did you think you would be? Where you are? And what? Go ahead and give me some predictions down the road up to this point.
Richard, you know me and predictions don't get along very well. We had hoped that we would be at least 5 wins and be possibly 6 to get in a bowl. I think that's very possible right now. Foregoing injury, if you lose your quarterback, things turn on a different route. Quarterback is so important in college football today. You lose too many, we're not real deep in the offensive line. You lose too many of those, you could turn. But if everybody can stay relatively healthy, I think we got a chance to win 6, maybe 7, possibly outside 8 games if things fall our way. But it's too early to be making that kind of excitement.
Ray, this is Neil again. Congratulations on the win. I didn't mention that a minute ago. You got a player over there playing defense for your Golden Eagles with Pike County ties. Macomb High graduate, Southwest graduate, Jameer Lewis. Can you give us an update on him? Defensive lineman, linebacker.
Jameer has been playing really well. I think he was a little bit of a question mark going into the season. I think he did real well in fall practice, but since the season started, he's been performing real well. We got Greg Nunnery there on the offensive side too from Macomb. So a couple of local players. Greg's a starting guard right now, at right guard.
Well, Reese, enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday morning.
Take care, Robbie. Y'all be good.
Thank you, Reese. Reese Nunnery visiting with us. Real quick before we get out of here, 3-0 high school football teams in this area. Macomb's 3-0, Lloyd Starr, Brookhaven, Columbia, Wesson, Salem, and the MAIS side. Sullivan's 3-0, Columbia Academy, Kapai, Park Lane, and Wilkinson Christian is 4-0. And if you get a chance, make sure you check out on the Facebook page Mudcats Athletics. I think you'll enjoy getting to see those guys and how they're forming their teams and getting a chance to play. That's Mudcats Athletics. You can check that out on the Facebook page. Also, don't forget, next Friday is Park Lane's Pink Power Project. Say that 3 times real fast. It's September 26th, next Friday, and it's with the game against Dartmouth Academy, who, by the way, is undefeated coming into this weekend. So that could be a couple of undefeated teams going at it next week out at Park Lane. Well, Mr. Randall, another week, another 50 cents.
Absolutely, and it's always a pleasure to come up here and visit with our good friend, Mr. Bullock, who does an outstanding job. And, of course, it's always great to see you guys because we've been doing this for how long now?
Too long. I think that's the answer to that question. Let's put that way too long. That's the answer to the question.
We ain't got enough fingers and toes, Neil.
I think we started in August of 2004 with a little hiatus there.
Yeah, the hospital bed hiatus. Richard, what you doing this weekend?
Like I said, Robbie, this afternoon when we get back, we've already got some stuff gathered up. We'll gather up the bovines, and we'll take them up to the sports arena at Tylertown tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock. We'll lead them around and show them and get our placings. We'll pack it all up, and we'll take them back home, and then I'll be home to watch football.
Holy TP would do that on Saturday, that's for sure. Thanks for being with us. Our thanks to Daniel Simmons, the head softball coach out of Park Lane, and also Brian Haydad from Sports Talk Mississippi. We'll join you next Friday morning at 9:06 right here on Super Talk Pike County.
chance. I just want a little time to dance. And tomorrow we can sleep all day. Before tonight we'll let the music play. You remember how it used to be. I love the way that you would dance with me. Rocking and rolling till the clock unwinds. And then we'd holler out one more time. Don't turn out the lights, the party ain't over. Well, the band just started to play my favorite song. Party ain't over.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Have equipment to sell? Mid-Delta Auction Company is now accepting early consignments for the January 30th public auction in Greenwood. Get in early for maximum exposure and nationwide marketing. Visit mdauction.com or call 662-299-2414.